Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. I'm so excited today because Mac is back to join us. Cheryl McCollum, author and decades worth of law enforcement experience, particularly in the area of crime scene investigation and just overall investigation of violent crimes, just like what we saw with the Nancy Guthrie case. We're going to be breaking down sort of where we're at since we had Mac on and got to listen to her. There's been a lot more that's transpired, details, bedrooms, scanners, the vehicle in the background and the 2 mile radius. She's going to talk about that and about how you just can't ignore anything. Well, I shouldn't put words in her mouth. We're going to hear straight from her and see what she has to say about some of these items. And remember, I just want to talk about her book real quick, Swans Don't Swim in the Sewer. I just love that name because it's so true. You know, we're never going to break a case or have great informants regarding murders and kidnappings and everything, going to the choir trying to find witnesses. So anyway, without further ado, morning, Mac.
Morning. How are you, sugar?
I've got her up early this morning. She was kind enough to do this. I had a flight I have to take out a little earlier now. She's so kind to come on at 7. No one likes to get up at 7 or do that. Or am I the only one that doesn't mind?
No, it's pretty rough. No, I'm just teasing. For you, I'd do it. No problem.
You're so great. And all of our viewers here. And I tell you what, there's so many people from Australia, from across the pond that join us in the mornings. And they love this because they're like, oh, good. Actually, we get to watch something that isn't at 2 in the morning our time.
Sure. Wonderful.
We're going to get right after it, Mac. Let me get a pair of glasses that has 2 arms. They're few in between. I want to first talk about what a lot of people are talking about, and that is this bedroom footage.
Mm-hmm.
Because First time we get a glimpse into the likely crime scene. First of all, 2 questions for you. What was the first make you had when you saw this, that you kind of from an investigative lens? And then second of all, what is the likelihood, because this is over about 10 years or so ago, about 13 exactly, that anyone in this age range actually changes anything, moves bedrooms, moves beds?
Yeah. The first thing I thought about was the door has got to be looking at this to my right, and then that window. And the window's got the plant there and the little bench. She's trapped. So if I come in through that door, there's walls. 3 that are now protecting my exit. She can't leave. There's no way she's going to be able to get out that window before I can get to her. That's not possible. So that's the first thing I thought about. It looks, you know, pretty small. I'm going to use the walls to my advantage. I'm going to use where she's sleeping on the bed to my advantage. There's your lamp. There's personal items next to it. So that looks like that's the side she's going to sleep on. So again, we talk about close quarter combat. Jennifer, you know all about that. But for your folks, it's like people that work protection on airplanes, elevators. Anytime you've got a close quarter with somebody, you've got to use the walls and the floor to your advantage. So that's, if I was the perpetrator, that's what I would do here.
What about that window, Mac? The fact that it's possible if he did do recon, if it's true what they're saying that, or what a source has said, that there's different.
Sure. You can see right in. He would have no trouble getting the lay of the land just by walking around the house, and there's not a camera there. So, yeah, he's got a good field of vision from that vantage point. There's no doubt.
And in your experience, as far as change, elderly woman in her 70s changing this sort of the way things are lined up. How do you see that?
very rare that would happen. You know, typically once you hit that kind of stride, you are so comfortable in your house. That's your bed. That's your sofa. That's your, you know, you've got things where you want them the way you want them. Even my mother-in-law, when my father-in-law died, the house next door to us just happened to be available. My sister, who's a trauma nurse, lives right next door to us. She's very close to my sister as well. My children come to visit all the time. And we thought, man, if she lived right there, we would all be so close to help her and be with her. She was not trying to leave her home, which I understand. She's surrounded by her things and the way she wants them. And I see the same thing here. I don't see a lot that would change in this room except a new bedspread and new pillows. I mean, that's about it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And that was my perception when I first saw this, is just trapped, exactly from a tactical standpoint, exactly what I want when I go in and do an arrest. When we go in as a team, right, we want that person trapped. There is no exit.
Get them in that room. Yeah, you don't want them in the living room. They've got three separate exits. They've got weapons that could be anywhere. It's too much room to fight. You want them in that corner, so to speak. Sure. But I'll tell you another thing that just pops in my head. I don't like this for a lot of reasons, but you've also given them, if they weren't the real kidnapper and the people that we think may be sending some of the bogus ransom, they can give you information about the home because you've already put it out there. This was probably a real simple Google search for somebody. So when this video was done, again, what you and I are talking about, there's not going to be a lot of changes. But if the video shows other parts of the house, how hard is it to say, well, you've got knickknacks here. You've got tons of pictures of the grandchildren here. You've got this painting here. Those things hadn't changed either. So,
yeah, I agree. And I see exactly your point. And it's such a great point, is that anytime, and again, this was all over NBC, it was the morning show, she was teaching how to make a bed. She actually pulls up this bedspread. It shows how to make these military triangles. It's just how my mom taught me, by the way. Still to this day, don't make my bed. Because every morning before school, before I did anything, as a little girl, I'm in there making these triangles, tucking them down and under. Yeah. Which actually is sweet. And I think it's from the Leave It to Beaver days, right? The time.
Sure.
You know, when you see Dick Van Dyke, for those of old enough, you know, you see the mom and dad actually in separate twin beds.
Yes. Yeah.
And everything perfect. And that's what I see with her. She is a Leave It to Beaver mama. You know, look at this, you know, how she has everything perfect. And yeah, I thought it was interesting that they, Inside Edition, interviewed one of the hosts that actually did this segment with Savannah Guthrie. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was interesting because she had her mom, this other host that went to 20, I think she's on 2020 now. And she was saying, geez, I had my mom on. And they were talking about this privacy that is invaded. And more to your point, now, if you have somebody call in or go forward and say, there was a little lamp,
that's right,
three tiers, and that they had a shelf right underneath. Now you don't know, did it come from this or did it come from real knowledge? And that
may be why they waited 3 days. They were searching for something. And if you just typed in Nancy Guthrie's mom, look what's going to pop up.
Oh, yeah. And it's all over. I want to talk next about kind of, in my opinion, it was just a complete rabbit hole. There was a lady that was interviewed, I want to say day 35 or 36, mm-hmm. who said that, or I'm sorry, let's say a neighbor. I don't want to give, you know, whether it was a man or a female. And anyway, they said they heard a dog bark. And they heard or that they lost their internet all night long. And so we kind of went from that to this leap that they must be using scanners.
Yeah.
And I totally get, and that the scanner was in the guy's pocket. And I'm going to pull up a picture there. Mac, if you see me go down, I can still hear you. I'm
just okay.
Some stuff up.
Okay.
I don't know how much experience you've had with cases where they've used scanners. This is kind of the look-see of what happens. Can you talk about that just a bit? And I'm going to sure. pull another picture.
So again, in the essence of following the evidence, we have a video of a masked man at Nancy Guthrie's front door for 44 seconds, whatever it is. This image never happens. He doesn't blur out. He doesn't go away, however you want to describe what's going on here, like a digital problem, like with your cables going out. So I don't have any reason to think he had a scanner because it wasn't working. But when you have something like this, again, they're approaching a camera, and as they get closer, the images just get distorted. So you can't truly see what they look like. The issue, again, is if somebody's got the Ring camera or a Nest camera, your phone should already alert, your watch should already alert. So even if this is happening, they're already within that sphere that you should have an alarm go off or some type of notification before this takes effect. Because I think this young man, I mean, he's 4 feet, 3 feet from the door. I mean, he's already pretty close, but he's caught somewhat.
Yeah, no, I agree with you because scanners have to work so close in proximity. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what that other individual would have to be doing in terms of, they would have to be, in other words, if he had accomplices, they'd have to be walking around in the neighborhood 20 to 30 feet from people's mechanisms trying to get, you know, their signal to scramble. Sure. And actually what she described, or he, is that they have no signal. So I think right. that's a battery issue or some other issue.
Yeah. But the bottom line is we have video from Nancy Guthrie. So he wasn't using it. So, you know, move on. That's clear as a bell. He ain't got no scanner. Look at that. You can tell he doesn't have a wallet in his back pocket.
Yeah, when we look at this, and I think this is also what incited some of this, I don't want to say silliness, but rabbit trail, mm-hmm. You know, was the picture that I think many of us, I believe that's an antenna sticking out, mm-hmm. a possible two-way radio. And so a lot of people said, oh, no, it's a jammer. I said scanner, sorry, jammer, like this. And this is one that is kind of a little bit more high powered. But even to do images like this, you know, those are used with backpack style, really big ones. And the small ones would be completely ineffective. And to your point, and I love how you're just to the point, that ain't what we're seeing here.
Nope.
And why do you need to take the door camera if you got a jammer? And you know what works on the same frequency as a jammer? A pacemaker. Because it operates on Bluetooth versus Wi-Fi.
So
you have a pacemaker that worked up till 228. So I just wanted to get your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I'm also one of those people, we don't have to train the other side. I mean, they have enough information. So I hate to tell them anything they can use. Not that they don't already know, y'all, but I'm just saying if there's a 12-year-old out there, I don't want them to go to, you know, somewhere online and try to buy some jammer because they think they can, you know, get out of homework or something. Like, mom, the Wi-Fi's down. But, you know, I just think, you know, what we're looking at Nancy's house is completely different. It just is. And this guy, again, I didn't see the antenna. I mean, I still don't really see it. But what I see is a person, again, that took a whole lot of time at a front door that I've never seen a burglar ever take that amount of time at the front door. Normally, they're just kicking it. And when you've got somebody 84 that wears hearing aids, I don't know that she would have known you were breaking into that door at 1:30 in the morning. So, you know, there's a lot here. And Jennifer, you and I keep talking about it, but every single expert that you and I know has said the same thing. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I keep going back to it. It's so strange.
It is strange. There's a lot of and you're exactly right. You know, I had a guy with 10 years on the Dallas homicide squad that I worked a case with, a homicide case with. And he worked before that just kidnappings and robberies for another decade in Dallas. Like, this guy has seen it all.
Yep.
And he said he hadn't seen this. He hadn't seen an 84-year-old, you know, taken from her bed. Mac, remind me, were you and I on after or before I found that case of the 80-year-old that was taken in South Carolina?
Was that? I did not know about that.
Let me just give you a few of the details really quick, because I've already been over with the audience. But basically, an 80-year-old woman, she's sitting at home minding her own business. Some bad guy steals a van, you know, career criminal, piece of crap. His van that he stole from the church breaks down right near her house. So then he breaks into her house to steal.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry. You did tell me about that.
Good.
Yep. I remember now. I didn't remember South Carolina, but yes, I remember that.
Yeah. And then he ends up, you know, putting a gun to the back of her head, sadly. But to me, that's so much different because he wasn't masked. He wasn't planning on it. That was So that's literally the closest case I can find until, you know, started peeking around cases. And I was really bothered by a Scottsdale, Arizona case that just happened in January.
Right. Matt,
this isn't something I'm talking about from 4 or 5 years ago. This is in January. And listen to this modus operandi. There's two kids that are in California, about 6.5 hours away. They are in contact with two people. And I still don't know. None of us know how that took place until, you know, it comes public, but from two guys operating on, what's the name of that secret? It was used in the Karen Reed case. Oh gosh.
The app. I don't know the name of it, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. That app. It'll come to me. In fact, somebody will probably put it on up here before I remember, but basically using that app and using these nicknames. One nickname was Red and the other one went by 8. And they sent somehow a signal. Thank you, Elena. And they somehow sent $1,000 to them. Again, all this should be so traceable, but will it be?
Mm.
And for them to buy what they needed to buy, Mac, to go to who they identified, which was true, as some very well-off individuals, had these two break in. Now, these guys did it, not like this guy. You know, these kids pounded, you know, they were, I think, 16 and 17, 17, 18, pounded windows, went in, tied these people up, brutalized them, by the way, and trying to get $66 million in Bitcoin, right? So the same, a similar.
Sure.
Just give me your feedback on that.
Well, if you and I were working this thing, as soon as you give me a similar transaction, you have my attention, especially when it's in, you know, a similar timing, like it's close proximity calendar wise, the same area and the same MO. You're giving me a method. You're giving me a general, you know, mapping. I'm all about it. There's no way you're going to give me a similar transaction and I'm going to ignore it. Not possible. Just like you showed the glove a while ago. Remember when I was talking about how long that glove looked? And I even said it looks like something from a restaurant or a hairdresser. It's not a glove that a first responder would use. The reason I was interested in that glove, it was within 2.5 miles. Well, I preach at the police academy, take a 5-mile radius. That's where your cameras are going to be the best. That's where the evidence is. If it's going to be discarded, it's going to be discarded pretty quick. So if I've got something within 5 miles, I want it. If it's within 2.5, I'm going to run it down. If it's, you know, if it's something that looks like, hey, as they drove away, because then what occurred was, remember, they started saying, look at this car. This car is 2.5 miles away. And I'm like, yeah, like the glove. So I'm just saying, even if the glove did not pan out, which it didn't, but I'll talk about that too. Do you remember when they said, oh, it came from a man that worked at the restaurant? Jennifer, did he have a criminal history? How did they find him so quickly? Did they do genealogy that quick, or did they run it through CODIS? Because when they said, oh, the glove belonged to a man that works at a restaurant near here, well, they found him pretty quick. So I'm thinking, that's odd to me that they knew who he was. I'll just put that out. And then the last thing I'll say about it, and Jennifer knows this, but, you know, we teach at the police academy, it doesn't matter what you think, doesn't matter what you feel, doesn't matter what you believe. It only matters what you can prove. So for me with this case, I go back to that video right there. That is the best evidence we have right now. Everything about scanners, everything about jammers, everything about gloves, that may pan out. These people that they're stopping and searching vehicles, the family's vehicles, we have received nothing significant from that. What we do have is right here. And Jennifer, when you talked about that other case and you said those kids received $1,000 to buy whatever they needed to pull off this kidnapping, one of the first things you and I talked about is that guy right there at her front door, all of his stuff looks brand new. That backpack looks brand new. His pullover looks brand new. The mask looks brand new. The holster looks brand new. So again, I don't want to ignore the story you're telling me. Did this person receive money from somebody? And when you are talking about a crypto kidnapping, most of us have never worked that. I've never had a crypto kidnapping. I know that they take place. I know there was a family in Minnesota in 2025 that was kidnapped because of it. I know there was a man in New York that was kidnapped and it was a crypto kidnapping. There was a influencer on OnlyFans that was kidnapped because she talked about it. And there's two things I just want to point out. It drives me crazy. Do y'all remember that show, Yo MTV Cribs? Why somebody would show the inside of their house, I have no idea why they would do that. Especially when you're a millionaire. You're letting people case your house and you're doing it. You're allowing it. And it just baffles me a little bit. And the second thing is, it drives me crazy when they print and publish what people are worth. I have no reason to know or have knowledge that Savannah Guthrie is worth $40 million. How is that my business? If you came on here today, Jennifer, and said, hey, y'all, Mac's worth about 75 bucks. I don't want people to know that. I don't want them to know, Lord, do we need to start a GoFundMe for Mac because she ain't got no money? I don't want the opposite to be true. I just think we're so, you know, invasive in putting people's business out there. You're actually putting them in danger.
You know, so look at me here, right? This is my studio. I have a few of different ones, but certainly they're different parts of premises I'm associated with. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. And so, to your point, it is bad because I think so many people do it because we used to. When I first started in this business, I did everything in studio. You know, a car would come pick me up and they'd take me to the studio and they'd film everything and they'd take me home. But now with the advent of Zoom and everything, I mean, after COVID, Zoom went in, but just with the ease and just imagine those studio costs and driving costs that everybody wants to get rid of. So everybody does it from locations they're familiar with. So you're right. It's giving a window into at least places that are associated with those people for sure. I want to talk about this video that you and I, and I think everybody recognizes is the best evidence. And still $1 million isn't inspiring somebody to betray him. Their conscience isn't inciting somebody to something to betray him. But Mac, I wanted to talk to you about, remember how he pulls the flowers?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a new, I guess yesterday is when this epiphany came to me about it. Because it bothers me, right? You know, we sit back and we're like, does that mean something? Or what did that mean? This is one of the weirdest things. So I think now, and I want to show you this again, just a reminder to everyone in the audience. If you see here, he initially almost knocks, right? See this knocking motion. And I've always thought that that's because his buddy's already inside from the back. And why I think that in part is because they hired a locksmith. We saw the locksmith fiddling with the back door, possibly either putting in a deadbolt or fixing the lock. And so that's part of the reason then. And I'm going to do a real close up of that antenna, girl, because I want you to see what I'm seeing with an antenna out of the pocket, that that could be possible two-way radio. So you would need to have, but I think he's going up here. I could be wrong. And he's knocking. He's like, dude, let me in. I'm out here. Because I think that his job was just disable that camera so they could take her the closest route from the interior of the house to that vehicle that I believe is there in that circle drive, as opposed to walking her around the entirety of the house for all other cameras to see. And then I think he gets this because check this out. And there's another one too. I was wondering, is he waving that around? Like, yo, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense that you're
If
going to.
you'll go back to that first video, I'll show you what I see.
Okay, show me, show me.
And it's so weird, but he comes up and watch his left hand. When he comes up and he has that almost like the letter C with his hand. Now watch what he's doing. He's not even touching anything, but look at his left hand. He tries the doorknob immediately. So the first thing he wants to know is, can I just open the door? That C motion, what it looks to me, what he's doing is he's trying to stop the infrared around the lens, which again, I think is weird because even though he might be stopping that infrared part of the camera, you can still see him because he's not blocking the eye of the lens. See what I'm talking about? That's what it looks like he's doing. Like, and with that mouth flashlight, but he's definitely trying the doorknob. So, he's not a pro, but it's just like people that break into cars. You're going to try that door handle first. I mean, it makes sense, do the easy way out. But those flowers have bothered me since I saw them laying there before we had the video. First time I saw them, those were a problem because they shouldn't have been there. So anytime I get to a crime scene and things don't belong, I zero in on it. And I could not get them out of my head. Once I saw this video, that's when I thought he's crazy. He's not mentally okay. And that's just my theory. I could be absolutely incorrect, but this is not the way you would suspect somebody. And I think he's young, and I'm saying under 35. So to me, that's young. And I don't see any male bypassing those rocks and trying to hide a camera because he's only trying to hide it. He's trying to hide it with his hand. He doesn't grab it, he doesn't try to pull it off. And then he's just trying to put the flowers there, which is so odd. That right there, before we had the video, that was concerning to me. Because again, to the left of, or for my right to the door, there was a vase with no flowers. To the left, there was nothing. So where the heck did they come from? And then they were clearly broken, which I thought was also odd. And I didn't know if it was because, I mean, there's blood there. Was it violent? I mean, was this some kind of ruse? But then I thought, no, he went at 1:30 in the morning. It couldn't have been that. People do use flowers to get somebody to come to the door, but this wasn't like a flower delivery. These weren't roses in a box or beautiful flowers wrapped up with a card. I thought they were weeds when I first saw them. So very strange. But this is the part of the video that bothers me the most, Jennifer. No question about it.
It's definitely so strange. And I think, for many of us, we're just trying to make it something incongruent, congruent. And that's the problem. You can't make something that's so odd, which I'm trying to do. I'm like, well, maybe he's trying the handle, he's knocking, he's waving. That's the only thing that I could sort of.
But here's what's really strange. He's still, even in this picture that you're showing, he continues to show his face. So you think he's doing all this with the camera for coverage, yet he's not covering anything. And if the back door was also accessible, here's the deal. You should almost wait until your buddy comes and opens the front door if that's what happened. This, again, does not tell me there was a secondary person. This tells me he's by himself and doesn't know what the heck he's doing. That's what it looks like to me. Because if you said, hey, I'm going to run through the back and I'm going to open the door so this is how we carry her out. Here's the thing. Why are we separating? Jennifer, I'm staying with you. We're going to go into the back together. Once we get her, we can unlock the front door and leave. I don't have to wait out there by myself, by the road, with the possibility of a car going by, which we know somebody went by, remember, because he looks. There's something that gets his attention. So a car could go by. There's other Ring cameras, possibly. Ain't no way I'm going to the front door by myself. I'm going with my partner. We're doing this thing in tandem. If something goes wrong, if somebody's, let's say the son-in-law spent the night there. If there's a man in the house that we weren't expecting, we're going to be able to fight that person together. I'm not going to be outside of a locked door. So,
you know, and that's why I love having you on, Mac, because I know on this, we might have two different premises.
Mm-hmm.
But I think both make a lot of sense.
They do. And that's the thing that I love about talking to you is you and I may not agree on this thing, but we see the other person's point of view and it makes sense as well. I would not do this particular job by myself. So it would make sense there'd be a second person. All I'm saying is I am forcing myself to only follow the evidence. I see no evidence of a second person. And I'll tell you this, let's say they beat her. That's why they were in there for 41 minutes. And to your point, the Scottsdale case, they stayed in the house a long period of time. But in that blood on the outside, if you're carrying her by her arms and I've got her by her ankles, then I would have walked through blood. There is not one footprint in that blood. There's not one drop that is scuffed, scraped, swiped through. So where's the second person? I just don't see it.
Yeah. So this is just in my, again, this is a hypothet, which looking at the evidence, because we're alike like that. I am not going to, in fact, as I see these things crop up, I just try to look at it. And for instance, the scanner, is that possible? And just get rid of it and concentrate on, because if you did have somebody using a scanner, I think it would raise the level of their capabilities.
Agreed. Right? It would. And listen, they could have used the jammer. I just don't see evidence of that either. So I would just have to put that to the side. So here's what could have happened. The first person could have opened that door, because remember, she's got two doors. She's got the front door and then that gated door. Maybe that person held the gated door open while this person carried Nancy over their shoulder, right?
That's why
there's no footprints, because right. Nancy on the back, her head and all will be bleeding here. I've already walked through. That's a possibility. So yeah. Me and you would be like, dadgum, we're back to two people. Possible. That's why these cases are what they are. I mean, as soon as I'm like, oh, Jennifer, you know, that FBI agent, she's crazy. She don't know nothing. And then I'm like, dang, she could be right. And that's the deal.
You're sitting in the squad room, mm-hmm. and we called it cutting up cases. Come on.
Let's cut them up. Yep.
And you're sitting there and you're talking because you're sitting at a table with a guy with 20 years experience. You've got 20 years experience and five others have 20 years experience.
All right.
You're going on what similar type activity. The problem with this one is, guess what? I've never had a case where somebody decided to pull a bunch of flowers. Some people have said that's Heather. I think it could be Heather, but I have a picture of what it is because I actually found another old tape from NBC with Savannah as a little girl in front of this house.
Oh.
And you can see this, these flowers, viney stuff that he pulled clearly. So I'll put that back up for people to see. It's so sad. But back to evidence, mm-hmm. Let's focus on that here. And this is something you said a long time ago. And I need to really hammer this home on Twitter that you said this, because people aren't talking about it. For him to pull this, for him to go back and pull this, the chances that he got something, that he had a micro tear in that glove, is very possible. Talk about that.
Not just a micro tear, because that does happen. Like, you're talking about a desert terrain. There's thorns on everything. There's rocks everywhere that are rough. So he could have easily, as he's taken that flower and pulling it, he could have made a small micro tear. But here's the other reality. He is in the desert. It's hot. He's got a full mask on. He's got a full zipped up, you know, some type of, it almost looks like a sweatshirt, whatever you want to call it, pullover. He's got these thick gloves on. Y'all, you can put those gloves on in the dead of winter. In about 2 seconds, your hands are sweat. Okay? There is no shot he wasn't soaking wet. So anytime he's got the openings, he could have, you know, wiped his eyes. He could have wiped his chin, his mouth. He could have, you know, tried to get some air under that mask before he goes to the door. He's got the mouth flashlight. Y'all, he couldn't have gone in that house and yelled orders to her without taking that out of his mouth. That's going to be saturated in saliva. That's going to be on the outside of that glove, too. If he touched his face, if he put one glove on, touched his face, then the other glove, and then whatever he might have done, getting the mask on or situated, he's got his DNA on the outside of those gloves, I promise you. I promise you. So when he touched those flowers, his DNA is on those flowers. There is zero doubt in my mind. Zero.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I tell you something else, Mac, and I know this just makes your skin crawl like it does mine. He stood over, and I want to bring this picture back up. He literally stood over this mask. And we all know what happens when you put something in your mouth. I want you all to take a flashlight, a pen. Immediately, your mouth just salivates. It
salivates.
Overflows with salivation.
Yep.
And here he is with that thing. I can just picture it, so gross, dripping.
Yeah.
He takes it out at some point, and we didn't take the mat. How can that be?
I don't know. I don't know. And listen, y'all, I'm not trying to Monday morning quarterback.
I know. I hate it.
I am just trying to say, for anybody out there that is getting into a crime scene, has a family member in crime scene, I have a rule. The rule is, if there is something there that doesn't make sense to me, I can't understand it, I'm taking it. It may make sense later. If I don't need it, who cares? But I'm taking those flowers. I'm taking that mat. You would see less of that blood there, because I would have taken that, because there may be more than one person bleeding. I don't know. So I want more than one collection there as well. But, you know, I look at a scene, and let's say you've got a ripped up wedding picture. Okay, that may be real clear that this is a domestic thing. Somebody's mad at somebody. They're ripping up wedding pictures. But then you may find a bank receipt that doesn't make sense. Then you may find a carton of cigarettes, and everybody has told you the victim doesn't smoke. The husband doesn't smoke. So you're like, what is this carton of cigarettes? Ain't no way I'm leaving that carton of cigarettes. Not going to happen. It doesn't belong there. So if I never find out why there's a carton of cigarettes, okay, but I got them. And if there's a fingerprint on there or some type of touch DNA, then great. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, I couldn't agree more. I wanted to ask you, though, from your experience, because this I've never done. I've only seen it done, where they take the swab and it's a molecular water to collect the DNA. I want to ask, do you think that the reason, and I still don't agree with it for the reasons you've just touched on, do you think that, I don't think they swabbed anything to do with the foliage, nothing. I think they just left that there. And I really think they didn't do crap with the mat either.
It doesn't look like they did a thing, because that is right where it would have fallen off that camera. It wasn't moved at all. I mean, there could have been some wind. When they opened the door finally, it might have brushed a little bit. Because if you, again, if you look at the flowers and go like the little arch that the door would have made, see right here, that makes sense to me. But again, I would have bagged them things as quick as I saw them. I would have stepped over the blood to get to the flowers because that's just something. Oh my gosh. Like, I'll give y'all, for instance, I had a double homicide once, and the woman was on the floor between the living room and the bathroom. She was completely naked except for one small rag, just a rag. The man was completely dressed, sitting on the sofa, one single stab wound, dead, completely dressed. She had three stab wounds, dead. In his pants, running down the inside of his pants leg, was an extension cord. The male end hanging out of his buckle right here, the female end hanging out of the cuff of his pants. I could not stop concentrating on that extension cord. I'm like, what in the world? This is a couple. I don't understand the extension cord running down the inside of his pants. I kept talking about it. Finally, my captain was like, hey, Mac, do you see two dead people here? You might want to concentrate on those two people. But I was in my way. That extension cord did not fit. I'd never, ever seen anything like it. I ain't seen anything like it since. So my focus, again, at that doorway would have been those flowers until I can make that make sense.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. We've always been on the same page with that. But like you said, you know, neither of us like to Monday morning quarterback because we've been there. We've been the quarterback that made the mistake.
Yes, Lord.
The errant pass that forgot to do this. But this is what I always like to say when I would make a mistake. I said, you know what? I've never made a mistake about something I already knew. Does that make sense? I do things right. When I would do that thing where you get in trouble or where you should never is make a mistake twice. Agreed. Same.
Like, yeah. So hopefully. That's a great way to say that. Yeah. That's a great way to say that. Yeah. And y'all, things happen. I mean, Jennifer, come on. You get into a situation, and I'll use the Olympic Park bombing. Even though we had trained for years for a mass situation, we trained specifically for a bomb in Centennial Park. That was our biggest thing that we were afraid could happen. We trained. When that finally happened, there's still chaos. They're still running around, not sure what you should be doing. You know, and then, of course, the FBI shows up because Chelsea Clinton was there at the park that night. The Secret Service is now involved. ATF is coming in. There's all of this going on. And we're like, hey, did we remember to contact hospitals? Did we remember to start faxing, you know, patient information so that we knew who was everywhere? Because people are now calling, wanting to know where their loved ones are. Well, there was, you know, and then is somebody injured to the point they could have been the bomber? Anybody injured on their hands? Anybody, you know what I mean? Like they held it. So, I mean, we were still in a chaotic situation, even though we were prepared. So when you've got a situation like this, can you imagine, Jennifer, if we get this call that an 84-year-old woman is missing and there's some blood at the scene, and then we find out a few minutes later that it's Savannah Guthrie's mama? I mean, that's going to change everything, whether you want it to or not. It just is. Because now you're not working a case insular where you and I can sit in the war room for a couple of hours. Because now we've got the Today Show and every news outlet in America covering this. And so we're either going to look really good or really bad pretty quick.
No, you're right. And you also, I think about experience.
Yes.
Experience. Uh-huh. Who knows? We know that Pima County had it for 20 hours, right? That's a lot of time.
That's a lot of time. Yeah.
And
you know, he did ask for help. Kinda, I guess. I'm still not sure. But, you know, when they're not saying yes to the Cajun Navy and they're not saying yes to Texas EcuSearch and they're not saying yes to all these other civilian expert search groups, that's where I'm like, why? Why would you turn down help, free help at that, of people that have been successful in recovering people? I don't understand that. at all. And I don't understand why we still haven't had a call out from the family saying, hey, I would love for volunteers to go and search for her. I don't understand how they haven't said, hey, anybody that's a hiker, a distance runner, please, if you're in the desert, look for this. If you're out hunting whatever cactus or cacti, I guess, or this type of animal, please look for this. If it's a clandestine grave, this is what you're looking for. Please make sure if you smell something, don't just say, oh, that must be an animal and move on. Let somebody know. And they're not doing that. And that has bothered me from day one, because Savannah Guthrie, day one, day two, she could have got 5,000 people out there if she had asked them to go and search shoulder to shoulder. And that is still, I ain't seen that. I haven't seen a visual that the family has done. So it's one of those things. I just wish there was more communication about why that didn't happen, because it's just curious to me. Why aren't we searching for her? Why aren't we teaching people how to do it? Because I said from day one, this thing wasn't going to be solved in a war room. It's going to be solved out there, most likely by a civilian.
Yeah, no, I agree. How this is, I think how it's going to be solved is somebody finally having conscience or wanting to make 1.2 million, because somebody knows who he is. It's so ridiculous. If that were my husband, I would recognize those eyebrows, that mustache, that gait, what he likes to wear, that ring that's on his finger. All of that would be like, oh my gosh, that's my husband.
That's or- another reason I think he's crazy. I don't think he's got a lot of friends. Like Jeffrey Dahmer. He doesn't have a lot of friends. He doesn't have friends from high school. He doesn't have friends from college. He doesn't have work friends that he hangs out with. He's weird. So people know of him, but they're not connecting him to this, because he hasn't been at a bar where he's talking about it. He's not a social person. He's somebody that has stayed, I think, to himself. I think there's something maybe on the internet, but people are missing it because, again, they're not his friend. You know, so is there a manifesto? Yeah, probably. But they don't know it. He's just that weird guy that lives upstairs.
Well, you got me hooked at 20. I'm 20% for that, you know, the stalker, the one that wanted to get Savannah's attention and was feels in his crazy world that Hinckley, you and I've talked about this, was just, you know, blah, 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 had some insider information from whatever, whether it's these videos or from somebody, but nevertheless did their proper recon on this, at least to a good enough degree, they were able to now evade law enforcement for over 40 days.
Yeah, I definitely get a Hinckley vibe. There's no doubt. Zero doubt.
But part of
if Savannah, if he wrote to her, I mean, that's never going to get to her, but most people don't know that. If you send her a letter or flower, she's never going to see it. She's not going to know. There are levels of security, not just for that building, but for that show and those people. So if he thinks, well, she's ignored me, she ain't going to ignore me anymore. Well, she's not ignoring you, but there's a reason, if that's the case, that they don't need the vigil. They don't need people out searching. They're, you know, Savannah has protected herself. She has to protect her children, protect her sister. And that's why they weren't home. I think they probably had an Airbnb, maybe even across the border in Mexico. But I think they were somewhere together where they were protected. That's what I believe.
Well, I put this picture up. I did a whole show on this premise, right? This is a gal. Her name is Bjorn, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it's just, and then also had on, do you know Greg McCrary?
He was
the original profilers with the
absolutely. FBI. Yes. Yeah,
love him. And he's been my mentor for so long because we work at the same, for the same company.
Yeah. He's fantastic.
He's fantastic. And he talked about a case he had where the people answering the celebrity mail, you know, that's this whole staff. Mm-hmm. And so it was something that staffer said in the response that clicked this guy to try to take out a celebrity in a case he worked. Just a celebrity. Oh my gosh, she's whatever. Even though it was answered, it hurt this person so much that they I believe it was an attempted murder case. It might have even been a murder case, but McCrary talks all about that on one of our segments.
Great. But
they found this case too, just another case of a celebrity person. And that person, remember, line between right, love and hate is so teeny. You have all that passion, and then now you feel like, and so you go after, they went after this person. It was thwarted. They actually sent this person a letter bomb with like acid that if it blew up, it's going to take her face out.
Wow.
Not kill her.
You remember Rebecca Schaefer? California didn't even have a stalking law in the 90s. And Rebecca Schaefer, for your audience, some of them may be young, she was on a TV show called My Sister Sam. She was a cute girl. She was young. I don't remember exactly how old she was. I apologize, but she was young. And she was on this show with Pam Dauber, who was on a show called Mork and Mindy with Robin Williams. So Pam Dauber was famous. Rebecca Schaefer was not. She was just a young girl that was paired with Pam Dauber for this show, My Sister Sam. She had a stalker. Well, he sent her like notes and letters and cards and candy. Finally, a gigantic teddy bear. She never even knew he existed. Security would get it, throw it away. Get it, throw it away. They missed. These letters were increasing in their agitation that she was not responding. You know how those shows go on hiatus, y'all? Well, during one of the breaks, she made a movie, like a motion picture movie or a made-for-TV movie. And in that movie, she had a love scene with a man. Then she went back and was filming My Sister Sam, the TV show again. The stalker, when he saw the TV show, that love scene, he took it as she cheated on me. He paid a private detective $200 to get her home address, went to her home address. She opens the door because she's thinking it's a delivery, and he shoots and kills her. So again, she never even knew he existed. And that's when Hollywood was like, we've got to have stalking laws. We've got to stop this. People have got to quit. You know, those maps where the maps show where all the movie stars live. They'll use drones to show, oh, this is Jennifer Aniston's house. Again, all of that kind of stuff. You know, we should do better at protecting people and their privacy. Again, I shouldn't know what her house looks like. I shouldn't know that's her door. There shouldn't be a bus that takes me right to her gate. I just think that's, we're not helping anybody by doing that.
Well, and I will say that a lot of the messaging from Savannah makes it clear that she feels, I think that she has some guilt going on and responsibility, that she's concerned, right? That her being, putting her on the Today Show and all those stints and everything might have led to this. And I can't say that I disagree. I don't think, but to be fair, I mean, it's nothing against Savannah, and I'm not trying to victim shame. All I'm saying is that that could have been what led to trying to hurt Savannah.
It could be. I mean, it's something we have to look at. You can't ignore that Savannah is in this equation. You cannot.
You can't.
I mean, what are the odds they're going to pick that house? If you look up and down that street, and let's say again, you and I are burglars. If we rode up and down that street, is that the house we would pick? It's not the house I would pick. I don't even like the doorway. I wouldn't pick that doorway necessarily. I like it for coverage in the dark, but I don't like the fact that it's a double door. If it's me, I'm going in the sliding glass door. I've already told you that. You can pop that, lift it, and move it, and walk right in. You ain't got to shatter it. They'll never hear me. That's easy. He ignores not one, but two sliding glass doors. He ignores the, I think, every window, which you know doesn't have alarm systems. He ignores, for what we can tell, for the most part, the back door. But yet, the lights are knocked out. Again, we go back to, we've never seen this before. So if I have 100 experts in every walk, from the FBI to NYPD to LAPD, from homicide to burglary, and they all say the same thing, I've never seen this before, then I'm going to go back to, he's crazy.
But I agree with you. Look at this house. This is not where you're going to go. You are not going to go here.
There's not 6 million of crypto in that house. There's not. you would have to have intel about the person inside for you to want that from that house. It's a beautiful house. But I'm saying it's not a mansion. They don't have six cars out front. There's nothing there that tells me she's got $6 million in cryptocurrency. Nothing.
Right. They knew she was there. This is targeted. They wanted to fight through all of this cactus in the middle of really a place with 1 acre to 3 acre plots.
Right.
You're not going to do all that. But you know what? I just wanted to touch base one more second about this stalking thing. I do think that if this has to do with something like that, if it does, that this is somebody that is very entrenched in Tucson that goes back with them. So in other words, I don't think it's necessarily a Today Show stalker, but somebody that would have known this family and known that.
It could be. Yeah. And again, that's why you run every bit of it down.
Run it down.
Run it down. And, you know, let's just talk honestly. And I'll go back to when they first started saying, well, they knew things. And this came from TMZ, but they knew things about the inside of the house. Any 84-year-old woman, I know things about the inside of her house. She's got knickknacks. She's got china that's out, that's displayed somehow. She's got pictures of grandchildren that are framed all over the place. She's got some type of Afghan on the sofa. She's got pills, lots of them. I mean, how close am I? Good Lord, that ain't hard to do, y'all. I mean, most of us, when you get a certain age, what do? You display the things that mean something to you. So if you start saying, oh, well, Jennifer Coffendaffer, there's, you know, tennis trophies, there's badges, there's guns. Yeah.
Have you been stalking me?
That's what I'm telling you.
You're killing
me.
It's
not hard to do if you pay attention for 2 minutes and the rest of it is guessing. And I'm not going to be wrong. There's certificates somewhere. There's a diploma somewhere. Okay. But with, you know, Nancy Guthrie, I can tell you a lot about her house. And I hadn't even seen the video. But any 84-year-old woman, you're going to be pretty close. You're going to be close. You know.
I want you to help me answer this question. Legendary. I think she just went off. But she is a huge part of this community and very, I love her questions. She just asked, is there any value from Joe Public? Because now she's saying, listen, you and Jen are Joe Public. Do you think law enforcement takes any information? I'll let you answer it first, then I'll go second.
Joe Public is going to solve this case. Joe Public is going to come across Nancy Guthrie, if anybody does. If there's a clandestine grave, if she's been placed somewhere, if she's just out in the open in the desert, it's going to be Joe Public that finds her. Why they have not been more utilized, I can't answer that, but they should have been. It's going to be Joe Public that sees something. And let me just give you all an example. The DC sniper, we're running around looking for a white guy in a white van because that's what every single expert in this country said. Every single one. They were dead wrong. The only thing that I said about DC sniper was when they left the tarot card, the tarot card, the death card at the scene, I said, chances are they're African American. Well, I said, I thought it was one person. I was wrong. And to Jennifer's point, I was wrong about something I didn't know. So I'm going to use that for now on. I went wrong. I just didn't know it. So I missed something. The experts kept calling him a sniper. Snipers do kill shots, right? So that didn't explain the 17-year-old boy that was shot in the back. I wish I had realized there were two, but I did know they were not Caucasian, or he was not Caucasian. So when you look at this case and you say, well, he's got a brand new backpack. He's got a weird holster. I think that holster is weird. I mean, it's like a buy one that fits any gun possible, but it doesn't fit his 9mm. Where did the gun come from? Where did the shoes come from? Like, I want to know everything. I want to know every single thing. Somebody rang him up, and or maybe he at Walmart, and this is another thing I'm against. I'm against check yourself out, and this is another reason why. He could have a holster. He could have this exact outfit. He could have this exact backpack. and nobody's even going to talk to him. He doesn't have to exchange with anybody. So again, Joe Public, somebody lives in his apartment complex. Somebody delivers his mail. Somebody delivers his Uber Eats, because I don't think this is a social person. I don't. I think he's on the internet a lot. I think he's watching everything that he can watch. I think he has reacted by what he has seen. I don't think he's missed a minute of coverage. That's just my opinion.
So I want to piggyback off of a couple things you said to Legendary's question. And when it comes to things like this, YouTube, social media posts and everything, I can 100% tell you law enforcement pays attention. And mm-hmm. I know that from the Idaho case.
Mm-hmm. Oh, law enforcement pays attention. 100%.
Law enforcement is paying attention to definitely what's in the ether. So to answer this question, Legendary, any law enforcement officer that isn't paying attention is missing the boat, because not only could it be what that person is saying, what that creator is saying, or the guest, what we're all talking about, you're looking for people in comments that might make something, in other words, that might even be involved in this thing. Right. I mean, you know, you just never know what the psyche of somebody's going to be and what they're looking at. I'll never forget. Did you see this? Did you see when they posted what Brian Koberger was looking at and watching?
Yep.
I couldn't believe it when one of my shows up there.
Yeah. That shouldn't surprise you. I mean, because think about Koberger. Any information about that case is basically porn to him. It's the biggest thing he's ever done in his life. It's the most important thing he's ever going to do. So he can't get enough of it. Because every time he can watch you talk about it, Brian Enten talk about it, somebody online that he doesn't even know talking about it, it's fueling him. He gets to relive it. That's like, you know guys that are 70 that still play some of their high school football tape. Remember that night we played, you know, the Trojans, 7:45 at night. We ran a two-run into the end zone. And I mean, they know, they remember everything about it. They can tell you everything about it.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. I want to go back really quick because we just have some more things to discuss. Let's talk about the glove, because I'll tell you what I understood. And this was on March 2nd. I need to go back and relook at it. But my understanding, okay, so this I know is the glove taken by the Post, the New York Post, who's been doing really good coverage on this. Mm-hmm. They were there when the glove was found and they took this picture. That's where I got it from. So my understanding is, the, to your point about how did they, this restaurant worker or whatever, there were 16 gloves found.
Right.
In the search field, like within a 2-mile radius or something. I understood it. Maybe I misunderstood it, that almost, I saw the sheriff almost snicker. This isn't the glove everybody's talking about with the restaurant worker, is one of those other 16 gloves.
Okay.
I need to go back and
I didn't understand that to be the case, but I mean, y'all, there's been so much information. There's been so much contradiction. There's been so much misinformation, bad information, but I understood it was this one. But let's talk about the other gloves. Some of them were first responders, we were told. Mm-hmm. There's no excuse in that. But I did try to point out, I think when you and I talked last, that I did not see any of the first responders wearing black gloves. They all had on blue gloves. So again, this is another reason this glove was of interest to me, because I can tell you that ain't a first responder glove. It's not. It's too long and it's black. So I want to know about that glove. And I still want to know how they knew this came from this particular person that works at this restaurant. He had to have a criminal record. Good Lord, that was too quick for them to know where that glove came from.
Yeah, I thought it might be even somebody calling in and seeing all this and saying, oh, I just want you guys to know I threw my gloves off in that area. I mean, there could be a number of.
And that would be the most appropriate thing. That'd be the great thing. But again, I don't know why they don't say that, hey, he called in. We cross-check the DNA, it's him. Great. But how do you prove it's him from a phone call? You still got to do the next step.
You have to.
So.
Yep. Really quickly, I want to talk a little bit about the car. So what's interesting is the Pima County Sheriff, and this I know for a fact, I actually did the soundbite of him. He specifically says, listen, this car is just one of thousands. And he doesn't address it, but he said this on March 6th. This is 100% sure. He said, we don't have it identified.
Yeah.
That's big to me. I mean, there's, look, the only cars I'm interested in are the cars in and around this area at that particular timestamp in that window. I want to see everything from 2:28 to 3:28. And I'm going to be looking at traffic cams, all these Nest cameras, everything. And I'm going to spread out mine probably a little bit further as my resources can accommodate. But they haven't even recognized this one. And there's probably so many others. That's why you said tens of thousands.
Yeah. Well, first of all, tens of thousands, BS. That's a ridiculous statement. You are not looking at the 305 in Los Angeles at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You are looking on a street that is predominantly older people that are not leaving their house after 10 o'clock. From 1 a.m. to 3 a.m., how many cars traverse that street? Two, maybe. There's no way there's thousands. That first intersection you get to the right and the first intersection you get to the left, how many cars are going through that intersection from that community that time of day? Not many. Not thousands. You ain't going to have 20. In my neighborhood, I'm on call. I think I'm the only person in this community that's on call. If anybody else is leaving between 1 and 3 a.m., there's either a medical emergency, something is happening. They've got to catch an early flight, something. We don't have people coming and going between 1 and 3 in the morning. This ain't New York City, Fifth Avenue. It's just not. You don't have it. There's no way that community has it. No way. Not a shot.
1,000% agree. And you put it into this time frame, and now you've really put the noose on it. And how about this? And this is something I've been hollering about. I'm sure law enforcement has got to be doing it. Don't geofence her house. Well, after you do and don't come up with it, how about geofencing my choke points? That's what I want done. I want the choke points done. And that's what I want done.
How do they not have one cell phone they're already looking at? How do they not already have one vehicle they've got to be looking at? We're approaching 40 days. So again, this sheriff has a way of speaking that drives me insane. You cannot contradict yourself on a case of this magnitude ever. You can't say, I'm not going to give any more interviews. Here's my last interview. You can't say, well, we're going to narrow down the vehicles, but there's thousands. Nobody's taking that seriously. There's not thousands. There should be five. There should really be one. Whether they can say that's a, you know, Corvette or whatever, fine. They may not know that yet. But you know it ain't a truck. You know it's not a van. So we are narrowing it down. We have a probable color, even though it's infrared. You do. You know it's light or dark. You know that. You know it's a four-door or a two-door. So if you know it's a sedan, I mean, let's narrow this thing down. Again, I cannot stress this enough. And people, listen to me. There is more talent in the general public than is in the FBI, CIA, and Pima County right this minute. Have y'all ever played that game, that logo game, where it's just the logo, but the words are off of it? I'm not great at that game. I might recognize, you know, Coca-Cola or Delta, but I may not recognize a cereal brand to name it. I may go, oh, I think it's cereal, but I don't know what it is. There are people in the public that would know that car immediately. They'll know that tire. They'll know that hubcap. They'll know the way that back taillight looks. They can tell you. Go to the public. They can help you better than anybody. And again, why this sheriff insists on keeping everything close, and I mean everything close to his vest. They know things, and they are still not releasing things that the general public could solve for them. I'm telling you right now, if they had a better shot of that back taillight, people could tell them. I can't, but I know that there are people that are. My cousin Hank could do it. I'm telling you right now. He could. He could tell them.
Yeah, I was really surprised when he said that, but let's face it. Let's face it. Unless I see it in writing from the sheriff, if I just hear it from his lips, I'm very hesitant. And that's a sad state of affairs, because for you and I, when we publicly speak, our breadth of what supports our words are typically what we know law enforcement has said, physical things we see with our own eyes, and that sort of thing. Will we make hypotheses from that? Yes, I even try to limit that, but that's what I want to draw from. And that's why I am literally hanging on every word of Nanos to at least put it out there.
Yeah.
Because that's all we have. All these people who say sources, 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 all the sources don't agree with each other. And I just don't believe there's many law enforcement sources out there that are coughing up information. And now at least we know who Nanos is, and we know that he is in the know. He could know it. There's something he said that I wanted to run by you that everybody saw. This is in regard to these two pictures, whether they're a different day, whether they're the same day, whether this is an accomplice of this guy on the same day. And this is what he had to say. And this is pretty to the point that there are not timestamps. And I've always said, look, this wasn't in the cloud. This wasn't on a SIM card. This was the FBI and Google somehow their huge, vast computers and sorting through millions and millions of images and being able to, luckily, as they will tell you, somehow grab this. So perhaps, and we got it within, I thought Kash Patel said something like hours, and I believe that he got it straight out.
Yeah.
The FBI could even hone these in even more, because they'll do that. They'll take this and really hone it in and see way more than we're seeing. So my point that I wanted to ask you about, what do you think about this? Because I just have to take it at its face, just like I take at its face that the family has been exonerated. I have to take this at its face that there's no timestamps. Because wouldn't they tell us, Mac? It would be so remiss to say these are different days and not tell us.
I would agree with that. But it's also like when he said, we don't know it's different days, but hey, give me everything from January 11th. So he gave us a different date. So there's a reason he came up with January 11th, and I think he played his hand. But if you go back to those two pictures, here's what we do. It's just like if I find just a leaf and people say, well, one leaf isn't going to help you. Yes, it will. Both these pictures are at night. That's critical, right? You start just as elementary as you can. Both of them are in the front doorway. So again, stop talking about the back door. The front door is what he's interested in. The front door is where these people keep coming to. This looks like the same field of operation. The way he's going to enter is basically the same. Looking around like he hasn't been there before. He's looking down. He's coming up. He's got that strong leg again. He's going to lead with his left leg for whatever reason. Great. Break this down. It looks like the same pullover shirt. Looks like the same mask. Looks like the same type style pants that breaks just the same way at the ankle. So we're going to systematically, like you say, we're not just going to chop this case up. I'm going to chop this picture up. I'm going to chop it up. Does this look to me like the same guy that's just not wearing a backpack and doesn't have the holster? He's got the same gloves. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's probably a different night, or did he go back to the car and get the backpack and the holster? I don't know. So you break down every single thing that you possibly can about these two events. You see that? He's coming. He's approaching the exact same way from the exact same, you know, vantage point. He's coming up again with his head bent down like he ain't never been there before, but he has. But he's been in his head because he dadgum well knows where that camera is. So did he come once and thought, man, I need more equipment? Maybe, because that's what he went and did. He went and got the mouth flashlight. He went and got the backpack, the other thing he needed for the inside. But look how those pants break at the ankle. That's how he wears his pants. Every pant he has right there. These aren't skinny jeans. That's how he wears them. That's how he wears the pullover, because he doesn't want any skin showing. He thinks that's going to leave evidence. He thinks maybe I'm going to be completely covered. She won't see tattoos. She won't see whether I'm white, black, or Hispanic. That's what he's doing. But this right here is when things change for me. Whatever he's doing right now, that changes who this person is. Because and this is the easiest way I know to say it, Jennifer. What do you need to break into a house and control an 84-year-old woman? Absolutely nothing. You kick the door in, you grab her, you're gone. Every single thing that he does that is in addition to tells you something about him. He does not need to get the backpack. He doesn't need to get those flowers. He doesn't need to cover the camera. How many break-in and enterings do we see where somebody just kicks the door in? They leave the camera there. Who cares that they're on camera? The people are at work. They go in the house. They grab all the valuables. They run out. Okay, here's the Ring camera. What can I do with three masked men that run in and grab the TVs and the computer and the jewelry? Nothing. Everything they touched, they took. I may have a footprint. Okay, it's an Air Jordan. What am I going to do with that? They leave very little evidence. But this person is giving us more evidence than he should. He made Nancy bleed, which gave us more evidence and more intel about him. You don't have to make an 84-year-old woman bleed to control her. None of that is necessary. You don't have to stay in that house for 41 minutes. What in tarnation is going on for 41 minutes? Nothing good.
Nothing good. Nothing good. So let me ask you this really quick, because I've really faded back to the Occam's razor. You know, when I'm just thinking about this, what is the most simplest solution to this puzzle? And the simplest solution is that this was a situation where individuals planned to take her for ransom and it goes to hell because she dies and they abort. Right. In other words, it doesn't involve the more complicated stalking piece. It's the simplest solution, but I just can't 100% all in on my Occam's razor. I'm pretty much all in, but between that kidnapping story Savannah Guthrie had in her book, between the pulling of the flowers, between him acting like he doesn't have a care in the world, the 41 plus minutes in this house, it doesn't.
Here's the other thing. Yeah. If you're going to ransom her or you want her to transfer Bitcoin, why wouldn't you take her phone so she could do that?
Well, then you would be followed. But I'm just talking.
Right. But I'm saying inside the house that night, make her transfer the money right then and there from.
Oh, I see what you mean. Call Savannah. And say, yeah.
I don't have that money in 5 minutes. I'm going to kill her.
I'm going to.
The police are 12 minutes away, Savannah. You already know they're, you know, you listen, y'all, you go somewhere, you make a 911 call and you time it. You know what their response time is going to be. So you already know to get way out there. The sheriff is at least 12 minutes away, 11 minutes away. Savannah, you got 5 minutes. That didn't happen. And if you don't take your cell phone, who could really get in touch with people without their cell phone nowadays? People don't memorize phone numbers anymore. She wouldn't have her banking information. So again, they made it more difficult on themselves by not taking the phone. I mean, even if they were tracked, okay, they went 10 miles in this direction or 20 miles in that direction. Okay. And then get rid of the phone. But they would have still had the information they needed. You know, get Savannah's number off the phone, write it on the piece of paper, put it in your phone, and then leave. But again, I just don't see how they would have ransomed her. They didn't leave a ransom note there. They waited 3 days, and then it was ridiculous. Then there was another one that we know is bogus. I mean, what are the odds of all of that?
Just to be clear, I don't think that that ransom, that's not what I'm talking about, those ransom notes. I'm talking about this being.
Oh, and they never ransomed her?
Yeah, that they never ransomed her.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah.
That they had a plan.
And she died.
And she died, and they're like, abort, move on to the next thing. But nevertheless, no matter what happened here, because man, Mac, you're bringing my needle a little bit more back to where I was at the beginning, which is the more less Occam's razor because of the bizarreness of this case. But when it comes to this case, have you ever heard of the case of Missy Beavers? And I don't want to surprise you here. Okay, good.
Yeah.
But, you know, this guy's never been caught. There's
right.
So many clear camera images. Such unique.
But Jennifer, again, how odd is this case? How weird is this person? You got a hammer. You're just busting out windows in a church. You're trying all these doorknobs. You're going into a Sunday school classroom. This is weird. You're dressed as a SWAT person. It'd be different if they were dressed this way and busted into somebody's house and started screaming, get out, get out, get out, right? But this is in a church where they're just sauntering around. So again, the oddness of it, it's just, you can't put your finger on anything that makes sense. And this case, again, just walking around with that hammer, just doing damage is so strange, so strange.
Well, I think that was a true setup, you know, to make it look like a break-in and that she happened upon them. When this girl went every morning at 5 a.m. to do her Camp Gladiator, one of my dearest friends was one of her friends because they're Camp Gladiator people. Mm-hmm. It's great in this world. But my point is for this, Mac, how could this not be solved? Do you know the height range they have on this one, even though he's standing right by that board and that
right.
5'2" to 5'9" I'm like, you can narrow it more than 7 inches. You know, it's
and they've got a car. They know the car.
The white car in the parking lot.
Yeah.
It's so amazing.
And who would want to kill her? The people that would want to harm her in any way should be narrowed down to two.
Well, and that's interesting because that goes to your theory on this case, because there was some really bad emails, stalking type emails that, you know, did that come into play? And look at where we're at, unsolved. And wouldn't you agree the cases that are typically unsolved are because they are so stranger. They are, I mean, stranger oriented. They're not, they're not close friends. And that's why it's so difficult to solve them.
It's almost impossible to solve it because there's no connection. I mean, it's easy when you have a domestic, right? I mean, 80-something percent of the time, it's going to be the husband, ex-husband, boyfriend, ex-boyfriend. Got it. That's easy. But when you have no connection, they did not intersect. They did not work together. They did not sleep together. They did not live next door to each other. They didn't go to the same social club. Like, there's nothing. It's almost impossible to say, well, I've got to connect something that doesn't exist. And that's what you have to do here. You have to look beyond, you know, her intimate group, her social circle, her work circle. This is a woman that, you know, in Missy Beaver's case, I mean, she was very public on social media. They knew where she was going to be. She would say, hey, even though it's raining, I'm here. Let's, you know, get up and get to it. So they already knew where she was. They knew she was alone. She was going to go in and be by herself for a period of time. And they were laying in wait, it appears. But again, even the way they made this break-in look, it was strange because to law enforcement, if somebody's going to be in there, then where did they keep the money? You know, when people tithe, where did they take the money? Well, that wasn't what this person was looking for.
No.
Then why are you breaking into a church if it's not for money, if it's not for shelter? That's an odd thing. So right off the bat, you've already played your cards. We already know this ain't a break-in. You didn't go to the money. If it was an Episcopal church, you didn't go for the wine. Like, what are you doing here?
Totally staged.
That's not the case. Then this is staged. Anytime you have staging, that's because that's what the killer felt was needed. they're trying to throw you off. You're throwing me off because obviously she was the target. She didn't walk in here and interrupt a burglary. So you're going to go to her in about 2 minutes. It ain't going to take long.
Well, and look at this. This is the last thing, and then one more question, and then I'm going to be respectful of your time because we are getting in. But I found this footage, which I thought was really interesting. This, again, very recent footage of a Chilean burglary group. Now, I want to make it clear, these are burglars. They didn't ever kidnap anybody. They went when people weren't there. But you notice how they're just, the dress, again, is so light because typically burglars want to wear dark black clothing. Mm-hmm. This guy should be in black so that when the lights aren't on, he's really covered by darkness. Mm-hmm. I just found that was interesting, especially when we notice, and I don't have that close up, but his eyebrows are very thin. He manicures them, which is something that occurs in the Latin culture. I'm Latin. I know it. And just go to Puerto Rico, San Juan, spend one day and watch all those men that have women curtailed eyebrows. And I don't know. There was something really bugging me about, you know, the reflective. I know this is just probably a coincidence, but it's very unusual, I thought, for burglars to not wear black, to just my experience. And then now I see this whole band that went literally nationwide with these.
Well, there's a couple of things about it. We have a group that is pretty good at having a burglary crew. They do not ever wear all black so that when they're in vehicles or they stop at McDonald's or wherever, they don't look suspicious. So they wear just regular, you know, clothes, the khaki pants and whatever shirt, so that they don't stand out. That's something they do on purpose, and they have the mask and gloves in their car. So when they get ready to hit, they just put the gloves on, the mask, and they go. But they're wearing their normal street clothes on purpose.
Well, and I know, Mac, you and I 100% don't believe this was a break-in. Neither of us are buying anything like that, just some random break-in. Or
not a random break-in.
Or even a purposeful. I'm with you, Mac. I'm struggling between the two theories, but I'm down to the two theories, which considering there's like six theories, definitely down to them. Mac, I can't thank you enough for coming on. It's just wonderful to have you in every way, and the experience you have. Everyone, you need to get her book. It's Swams Don't Swim in the Sewer, which, by the way, is hard to say really quick. In the sewers, it's a tongue twister. Tell us a little bit about that book, Mac. It's coming out. Tell us.
It'll be out in May. You can pre-order on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, Target, wherever you get your books. But there was a case of Melissa Wolfenberger, and she was beheaded and dismembered. And her father was the Flint River killer, a serial killer. So he asked me to help solve her case because he was stuck in prison. So I used a serial killer to try to catch a killer.
So great. Don't tell us the end. I guess we sort of know the end, but I can't wait to read this book. I know every time I have you on, I learn something. You make me think. It's all about being open-minded and with what we got to work with.
Well, I appreciate you. And I tell you, I look so forward to you and Julie Grant teaming up. Come on now. That's going to be so good. So good.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm really excited myself. All right, Mac, until next time, which will probably be sooner. As soon as we have a break on this case, I'm hoping you'll come back. I would just love
it. Anytime. So, thank y'all so much.
Bye-bye. Remove you. Sorry. Poor thing, you're up there. Let me go like this. Everyone, thank you. I know this was a really long show. For us, you know, I try to keep it under an hour and we started pretty early. Thank you all for being here. Really appreciate it. We went over a lot today. Really all the evidence that is publicly known. We touched on every single bit of it for you all to consider our different viewpoints. Mac, move my needle back again. I was over completely in that court, and then I got off of that court. There is a lot to consider in this case, and I can't wait to see what you all have to say. Unfortunately, I can't watch every comment, but I really appreciate it. And let's see. Oh, thank you, Angela. I really appreciate it. As far as an email, I'll try to see if you're on Twitter, you can DM me. Please do that. And I always invite anybody with any personal or private questions to please give me a DM. I try to get to them as best I can. Somebody had asked earlier, really quick, I just wanted to answer that question as to whether I got into the FBI based on either the X-Files or on Silence of the Lambs. I got into the FBI because I was attacked when I was young, and it changed my whole trajectory of where I wanted to go. It happened in college my freshman year, the Wichita State rapist. Let's see. Two of us got away without suffering rape, and 10, unfortunately, were sexually assaulted to that degree. So anyway, that propelled me, for those of you who don't know. All right. Anyway, I'm moving on. I'm flying out in about an hour, so I got to get rolling. But everybody, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it. Mods, you were doing a great job. I looked over and I saw there were some disagreements in chat. Look, I disagree, or not disagree, but Matt and I are looking at things. She has one clear perspective she is seeing, and that is somebody who is a stalker type personality, who's wackadoodle, who's a loner, who has perpetrated this crime all by himself against Nancy as a look over here to Savannah. I'm still convinced this likely had to do with money and was a kidnapping that went very south. And after Nancy died, this is just a hypothesis, that they aborted and have disappeared into the ether or across into the Mexico border, but are gone. And that's why it's been difficult to solve. But in either case, I think Max's belief on this case is just as viable as my belief. And about 20% or more of me is in Max court. So we'll keep looking at it. I just pray it solves soon. I mean, this is what the behind the scenes looks like, though, with having facts lead to hypothesis and then re-looking at those facts to see if your hypothesis are supported or not. And if they're not, you go into another direction. And Mac made a great point. Like the what happened in Scottsdale, they immediately tried to get the money, immediately tried to get that ransom. In the Scottsdale case I brought up, in this case, there was none of that, right? Took an 84-year-old woman. And that definitely points the needle more in Max's point, because they didn't need to do that. They didn't need to take her. So anyway, a lot to consider, everyone. We talked a long time. Thank you all for being here. I know it was a long stream. I appreciate y'all so much. And until next time, may justice be served for not only Nancy Guthrie, but for all the missing.